Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. We're going to go right into our first guest today, a gentleman named John Smaldone. And he is going to talk to us about his petition for God and Country. John? What happened? We can't get on? Guest calling. What do we got to do here? All right. What's... We have one caller. Search the callers. Caller guest. Well, we'll wait for John to call back. And I don't know what happened. So, in the meantime, let me just throw 2 minutes of music at you. And then we'll wait for John to recall. Not back. It says one caller. Let's see what happens. For some reason. John, are you there? John, is that you? Oh, this is horrible. I'm going to have to go and get help. And the sad part about getting help, no, we don't want to do that, is that you don't get the answer right away. No, we don't want to search the caller. We want to speak to John. Let's see. Can we get him here? No. It says one caller. And that microphone, the red microphone, should go to green, I believe. Hold time, 206.
Hello?
John.
Tom.
Hey, how are you, buddy?
Okay, I just sent you an email telling you that I'm here. I'm holding on.
I know. I screwed up. They opened up another window with a different phone number, but we got you.
I'm glad it's you, not me.
We introduced you, and we wanted to give you the floor and let you tell our listeners about your petition to save God.
That means I'm live. That means I'm not on the floor, but I have the floor, right?
The floor is all yours, John. Go ahead, start off.
Oh, boy. I hope you have some good questions for me after.
I do. Don't worry. I'll have plenty.
All right. I'll give everybody a little rundown as to what this is all about.
Great.
Ladies and gentlemen, and as Tom said, my name is John Smaldone. I have a little case of laryngitis, so be patient with me. What we're going to be talking about is a petition that is a nationwide petition, one that I created and developed about 2 years ago. The name of the petition is God and Country. And for everybody's purposes out there, I'd like to give you the website. The website is www.usagodandcountry, and is spelled out, A-N-D, hyphen, petition.com. I'm going to repeat that again. www.usa-godandcountry-petition.com. What this petition is all about is it's a proposal for a complete government reform. As I said, the proposal and the petition was created about 2 years ago. It actually was created because of an accident that I was in. I was in an automobile accident a few years ago. Broke about 5 ribs, and during the process of x-rays, my doctor discovered a small spot on my lung, which, to make a long story short, that turned into being lung cancer. Fortunately, and I say fortunately, they caught it well in time. And I was operated on, had a portion of my right lung removed, the lobe of my right lung, and today, knock on wood, I'm a cancer survivor. But I think what I learned more out of that incident is that God saved me for something. I didn't know exactly what it was then, but as time went on, after a few months, I was very much involved with our political scene, and I realized that a lot of things had to be changed in this country. My background is financial, been in the finance industry for about 44 years, and been through a lot of different changes in our financial system, and came up with the idea of God and Country as a petition. But the petition is very different than probably any and that anyone has seen before. Number one, I'm not looking for donations, nor will I accept any donations of money, that is. What I am looking for is a donation of people's time to spread the word on the God and Country petition. The other thing about the petition is it's very detailed. It'll take you probably a good hour to go through it and read it from beginning to end. There's 14 legislative demands that make up the petition itself. If you go in there, spend the time, read all the details and read the petition, I think that you'll believe in what it stands for. And if you do believe in what it stands for, I hope that you will help spread the word. The petition itself covers a lot of areas. I'm going to just give you a kind of a brief outline as to what it does cover. I'm not going to go into each item and explain it in its entirety. There is an introduction, obviously, which will give you the foundation and foundational base for what the petition is all about. I get into the enactment of term limits, which I go into detail on it, how it'll work for both the House as well as for the Senate. I get into controlling the power that's given to our legislators. When you read that particular legislative demand, you'll see that a lot of things are limited, and most things are limited to the constitutional powers that have been granted them. Get into identifying and the process of reforming our illegal immigration system, which is a mess, which is one of the things that are destroying this country. And I think most people will agree to that. But I get into detail on that. And by the way, what I do differently in this petition is I give you the solutions. I don't just say that we're going to enact term limits for the legislative branch of government. I explain how it'll be done. I explain exactly how the term limits will work. When I talk about the illegal alien situation and immigration laws that we have today, I get into the details of how they're going to be changed, what they're going to be changed to. You'll find it very friendly as far as being done in plain English. I get into our court system. I get into detail about our court system, about the reforms that are needed within, talking about certain revamping of our election and voting process, talking about revising government spending, energy policies, and definitely I talk very in-depth about the reduction of the size of government, eliminating a lot of departments within the government and bringing a lot of the responsibilities back to the states where they belong. I talk about how proposed bills are being passed these days, how they're being rushed through, how they're being put together in 2,000 and 3,000 page documents that none of our legislators or none of the public even get a chance to read and to look at. I get into and I talk heavily about our military budget and about military issues. I don't talk about cutting spending when it comes to our military budget. I talk about increasing it. I talk about our national security being the number one item on our agenda. Without security, we have nothing. I talk very heavily and very seriously about building our military, about getting ourselves back into a superior position. One of the other legislative demands is to repeal the health care reform bill, commonly known as Obamacare. It's one of the most disastrous bills that has ever been passed. And I believe that a majority of the people will agree with me when they say this is going to be the most costly and the most taxed item that we have ever seen in the history of our country. What we are going to face with Obamacare is socialist government at its best. The next item I talk about that's probably, believe it or not, more important and more serious than Obamacare, and that's to repeal the Financial Regulatory Reform Bill, commonly known as the Dodd-Frank Bill. This bill has given our federal government and the committees that have spawned out of this bill more power and more control over our financial system than any bill in the history of this country has done. The authority through the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is a committee that comes out of the bill itself, has got more authority and more autonomy over our entire financial system than ever before. Control over our entire financial system means disaster for all Americans. And I'm talking about control over your IRAs, your 401ks, your bank accounts, the regulations that are killing the banking industry today, those regulations that are going to be and are putting community banks out of business, which in return are closing many small businesses down nationwide. I talk about the private business sector and what we need to do to inspire and give incentives to the private business sector and to manufacturing to come back into this country, to start hiring American citizens. But our private business center, or our private business sector and capitalism is what made this nation great. And this is what we are losing. We are losing our capitalistic nation. We are losing what made us great. And I believe that if people will go in, take this petition seriously, read it, help spread the word that this is what we need in the form of a bill that can be passed if the election goes the right way. And when I mean the right way, I'm talking about replacing the present administration, present president, changing the Senate as far as the mixture of the majority, retaining the House. If all of this is accomplished, I have senators right now and congressmen that are willing to sponsor the bill, providing I get proper amount of petitions. We have thus far a little over 50,000 petitions. We need about 100,000 minimum to make it work. My goal is to have this ready to roll after the elections and to have it brought to the House, the floor of the House, for a draft proposal passage. The rest is up to you to take the time to go into the website, read the petition, and if you believe in it, like I hope you will, fill out the petition and then contact your friends, email your contacts, your friends, post it on Facebook, post it on LinkedIn, post it on Twitter. Do what you can to spread the word. And remember, that website is www.usa-godandcountry-petition.com. And I thank you very much. And now I'm going to turn it over to Tom to do a little roasting on me.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I like what you
Thank
said.
Thank you, sir.
I read your petition quickly. I've got scanning eyes, and I read it from beginning to end, and I got to tell you that as just a John Q. Public, everything that you've listed, I agree with. I was a little more draconian than you. You mentioned term limits. And my slogan is no more terms for termites. And I believe that the longer a politician stays in office, the more he steals and the less he does for the people. So I call for a one term for termite.
You know,
go ahead.
Can I answer you on that?
Yeah.
Because you brought up a good point. In fact, many people have brought up that point, that the term limits that I impose are longer than they should be. But I've talked to a lot of congressmen and a lot of senators, and in order to get this through, it's got to be it's got to be reasonable enough that it's going to be bought into.
Yes.
And the reason I put the amount of time in there, the amount of years in there as I did, is because that I feel very good about it being passed.
What is,
I went
what
down
was the term?
Any lower that it wouldn't be.
What was the terms that you had put in?
I put 16 years in there.
16 years for?
For both.
For Congress
both House
and Senate.
And Senate.
Okay.
Yeah, for the Senate, it would be four. It would be, let me see. my mind just went a blank.
That's all right.
I changed the terms and I changed the amount
the
of years for a senator. It would equate to 16 years.
And the president?
It would be 16 years for the House.
Okay.
8 2-year terms. And I even put in there term limits for judges, for federal judges, or any judge
Great.
That would have a lifetime
Great.
Position.
How about for
same.
The presidency? Did you change those terms or you kept them the same?
Kept them the same.
Okay. But with the exception that they can't pull a Bloomberg and get a third term, right?
Right.
Yeah, Mayor Bloomberg in New York, he overruled Giuliani for a third term, and then he went out and bought the city council, and then they gave him a third term. Bloomberg.
Unbelievable. I didn't mean to interrupt you on that, Tom. I just wanted
all right.
to clarify
no problem.
That.
Not a problem. Okay, I could see why presenting a package to the House and the Senate with only a one term of office, they wouldn't consider it at all. They're going to be panicking when you show them this one.
Sure.
Okay, you mentioned term limits, and then you mentioned power and control. We take our lead from the Constitution. Isn't that, aren't we doing that now?
I don't think we have a constitution anymore, and I don't mean to be facetious, but I don't feel that our legislators have followed our constitution for years, especially the past 4 years. There is so little that is adhered to. Our constitution, I feel, has been thrown out of the top story of the White House.
What worries me, I see the ACLU and the Southern Poverty Law Center. They get up in the morning, they go right to the Supreme Court with five game plans. They lose four, they accomplish one objective, and tomorrow they're back with five new game plans. And they're all chipping away at the Constitution.
Oh,
so,
unbelievable.
Yeah, I agree with you that we have to learn the Constitution. And I don't even think it's being taught in schools today, is it?
No, and this, you know, education is one of our major problems. You know, this country is, you know, compared to other countries, is so far behind on education. I mean, our kids today aren't taught. They're not even taught things about the Civil War or the Revolutionary War. I mean, there's not very few young people can even count change back. The lack of education is terrible.
And
the Constitution?
Go ahead.
What is it? You know, what is the Constitution? What is our Constitution really all about?
And every time I turn on the Democrat National Committee, they're crying, we need better education, more education money for the students. The students aren't even going to school.
Well, no, they're not. And what they're learning is nowhere near what we had, Tom.
It's a joke. I nearly died one day. I watched a guy that I had hired, and a customer came to the counter with 10 bolts at 10 cents each, and he went to an adding machine with a tape, and he put the 10 cents in 10 times and then hit the total. And this guy was 30 years old. He was getting ready to be married. I nearly died.
Oh, boy.
And
That's
you talk
awful.
To kids
That's
about geography. They don't even know where they live.
Sad.
It's unbelievable. You ask a kid where Timbuktu is, he can't tell you.
No.
He can't tell you.
Or he might tell you. he might tell you where Timbuktu is.
Yeah, right.
But, you were talking about, you know, the Constitution. Our government has grown so large and got so out of control. This was never the intent of our founding fathers.
I agree.
You know, never to have a government this large and has this much control. You give it another two more years under this administration, and the control that they're going to have over us will be unbelievable. Another four-year term gives them 4 years of freedom. They don't have to be they don't have to worry about being reelected. President Obama doesn't have to worry about being reelected.
You know, it was scary to me when he controlled the House and the Senate, plus the presidency, for two whole years, and the only thing that we were left hanging in the balance was a Supreme Court that was conservative 5-4. One Supreme Court judge held the future of the country in his hands.
That is scary.
And now it looks like it's 5-4 the other way.
You know, those first 2 years you were talking about is when Obamacare and when Dodd-Frank was passed. The two bills that have and will create the most harm to our way of life. These two bills are going to put us over the edge. And 2013 and 2014 is when everything, the severity of it all really kicks in. You don't think this was planned in advance?
Yeah. I got theories that go back to Joseph Stalin. So when you ask, was it planned well in advance? I mean, a guy came out of nowhere.
That's right.
He's president of the United States. How did that happen?
Go to him. There's a movie out called 2016.
I saw it. I went to see it. It was
every American citizen needs to see it.
Amen. Amen. We were talking about the balance of power, Supreme Court judges, and there was something that came to mind. Oh, I know it was immigration. You were talking about the immigration system. You know, when you watch National Geographic, and you see these poor, destitute Mexicans being taken advantage of by coyotes that leave them in the desert to die, that rob them and rape them. And your heart goes out to these suffering people. I seen one mother with two girls she was bringing into the States. Sometimes it ends up the two girls get turned over to prostitution rings. But this was a mother, and the guys that got caught were about 17 or 19 guys that got caught in this one roundup. And they were talking about, what do you do? He said, I do squash. And this woman said that she had to leave Mexico because there were no more cantaloupes to pick, you know. And you can see how it tears at your heartstrings. But then you also see the gangs that come in here and all the drug running and all the dope dealing and an attorney general that's running guns into Mexico. He's just about declared war on the legal Mexican government and armed the narco-terrorists with four regiments of gun-carrying narco-terrorists. And you say to yourself, what's going on? You see, the people of Arizona, they're overrun. What are we going to do about immigration and not hurt the innocent but protect the American citizen?
People need to do is they need to go in to my petition and read that section. And I'm not skirting the issue, but it's very detailed. You know, I talk about illegal immigration, and I don't talk about it from a Mexican standpoint or an ethnic background standpoint, but we are a country just like every other country is a country within themselves. We can't afford to just open up our pocketbooks and open up our doors and say, come in and take. We're a country going bankrupt. We're a country that's just hit over $16 trillion in debt. We don't have the resources to allow everyone to come into this country without meeting certain requirements and without following a procedure. We don't want criminals in coming over our borders. We don't want drug dealers coming into our country. We don't want freeloaders coming into our country. My grandparents came into Ellis Island. They did it the right way. They worked hard to become a citizen, excuse me, of this country. Everyone else needs to. The employers who are, and there are many employers out there that are instigating. Yes. They, and my petition calls for this, they need to be fined. They need to be punished. They need to be punished according to how many illegal immigrants that they have hired and they have working for them. If they have two, they get punished for two. If they have four, they get punished for four. But I call for some fairly good penalties on employers. But it calls for many things. You know, the biggest problem we have, too, in our country is we have laws on our books that never get enforced.
Yes,
we
true.
We keep implementing new laws, new regulations. I mean, we're a country now that's so regulated that the regulators don't know what regulations they need to enforce anyway.
I know. Imagine the Speaker of the House telling the American people, sign the health care bill, and then we'll find out what's in it. Imagine going to a closing on your house.
Unbelievable.
Right? And the lawyer says, listen, just sign everything, and then we'll find out how much furniture you have.
Could you say that again? Could you believe that?
I mean, yeah.
And that's what we have running our country. Those are the people we put in office. Let's pass this bill, and we'll read it and find out what's in it later.
That's terrible.
That's the problem with these bills.
And there's too many lawyers. I don't see enough merchants in the House and the Senate. I see everybody's got a law degree, and they write all the laws in legal speak, and they're the only ones that understand it. It reminds me of...
We need businessmen. We need people who have...
Right.
Been through the mill. We need people who have come up from the bootstraps.
Yep, very true.
I agree with you, Tom.
Yeah, I remember a situation where two guys in an automotive warehouse had the entire fourth floor with mufflers and pipes, which were numbered in numerical order, and they changed the numerical order system so that nobody could get the pipes and the mufflers but them. And they could never be fired. They considered it job protection. And can you? And that's what these Congress mice, I call them, and senators, that's what they're doing. They're building their own dynasty.
We, the people, have created what we have. We've allowed government to get out of hand. We've allowed it to grow to the point that it is today. We put these people in office. We put a lot of people in office that we don't even know. People ever researched Obama,
oh God,
his track record, and the individual, they never would have voted for him.
Unbelievable.
I mean, he was a senator for 2 years, and most of those 2 years he was campaigning for president.
Unbelievable.
It's just what we do when we put people in office because they're pretty or they say the right words that we want to hear. And I shouldn't be, and this isn't fair. Obviously, I'm kind of one-sided and taking a conservative approach because I am conservative, and maybe I shouldn't be. But I know one thing. We're not better off today than we were 4 years ago.
I was reading one of George Patton's speeches at the end of World War II to his troops. And
God
one
bless
of
him.
The, God bless him, right? And one of the... one of the paragraphs in his speech said, the rest of the world better learn to take care of itself, because if we try and take care of the rest of the world, we'll go broke. And that's where we are today.
You said it. A lot of
and
things Patton said is coming to fruition.
Right.
A lot of things Patton said, a lot of things he wanted to do that we didn't do, that if we did, things would be different today.
Another thing that scares me, and you cover it in the court systems and limiting judgeships, Do you believe in that judges should be elected instead of appointed?
As the way things are unfolding, I actually feel that that would probably be the best thing for this country. How do you feel?
I feel that way. I'd like to know a judge's track record. I don't like
sure.
when I pick up the paper and I see judge rules, and that's it. Judge rules, whatever it is, and you don't know who the judge is. You don't know what party he belongs to. You don't know what his education is, where he learned his law, and you don't know anything about him. All you know is judge rules. You know, that's
like
they
should be vetted, just like any elected official. If they're elected, we're going to
yep.
know about them, just as you say.
That's right. If he's
friendly, appointing them hasn't done the job.
Yeah, we got to do something different. Your petition sounds like a great idea, and I hope you say you got 50,000 signatures so far.
A little over 50 right now, you know, and it's
that's
taken
fantastic.
2 years to get there. Most of it's been through volunteers and word of mouth. You never. What state do you think is the biggest state where I have the most petitions out of?
You know what? I would say it's probably a small state like Nebraska.
Texas.
I should have known Texas, right?
Yeah.
The last bastion of freedom.
And actually, 50,000 is not a lot of petitions.
No.
And you know what a lot of the problem I'm having is it is a very long petition. It's got a lot of details in it.
Yes.
And to get people to spend the time to read it, to look at the solutions, see what it's all about, is a very difficult task. They'd rather sign something that's one page or half a page. That's the problem.
Yes.
You know, we always hear just a little bits of things. We see little bits of bills and we pass them and we the American people buy into them. What I've tried to do with this petition is give the details, give the solutions. There's philosophy behind it as well as fact.
You have an introduction. In your introduction, do you highlight the 14?
Oh yeah, 14, yeah. I do.
14 issues.
The
is it
introduction 14? Is the 14 legislative demands. Yes.
Okay.
And
so, if somebody
didn't
want to read the whole thing right away, they could. The tickle sheet would be enough to keep them interested to read the rest of it.
It would, but what's nice about the way the website is set up is they can go into each item and they can click on that item and they can read it, you know, one item at a time. It'll bring up the head. It's got a menu to it. You go in and it'll give you a menu and you just click on that particular item that you want to read. And if you wanted to just read one item today, just read one of the legislative demands.
Let me see if I got your website right. www.usa-godandcountry. Am I right so far?
So far. Dash.
And God and Country is another dash?
No, I'm sorry. It was after God and Country.
Right.
There's a dash.
Okay. So it's www.usa-godandcountry-petition.
Petition. The word petition.
Right.
And then .com.
.com. Good.
And if you go into the home page, it gives you instructions as to what to do. It's very well done. And I even have a section in there. It's called News and Updates. And you can go into that News and Updates, and you can see when last time one of those legislative demands was brought current. Because
fantastic.
Things happen. I mean, you know, it's what it was 2 years ago. There's been changes. So those legislative demands have been brought current and brought up to date to reflect changes that have occurred.
Now, here's my favorite beef, which is your next issue, and that's government spending and reducing the size. I would love to see the end of the EPA and OSHA and any government agency that pirates hardworking people's money in the way of fines and harasses them, interferes with their workday. So what agencies would you like to reduce or close?
I get into that into my petition, but obviously Department of Energy, you know, is Department of Education, obviously. There are, I don't want to give away too much.
Right, okay.
But there are actually a lot of departments that need to be closed, that are useless, that are costing us.
Do you think we could reduce
EPA.
Government? The EPA, definitely. I never seen them help anybody.
No, not at all. But there's more than just those three that I just mentioned. You hit and touched on the biggest problem that we have. And I've explained this. In fact, I was at I gave a speech at a tea party last night. And one of the things that I was talking about was our deficit. And I kind of rounded out my figures, but roughly we have about $300 billion per month in expenses to run this country. I mean, not to run this country, but that's what it's costing us. Actually, a little bit more, and it's growing each day. But about $300 billion per month, the cost is. We're only taking in approximately $200 billion per month. So that means that we have a deficit every month of at least $100 billion. That's well over $1 trillion a year. Am I right, Tom?
Yep.
There is no way humanly possible that we could ever cut expenses $100 billion a month. That's not even taking care of the deficit. I mean, the interest alone on our deficit is something like, what, $45 billion a month? So even if we wanted to cut our deficit and balance our budget, we'd have to be somewhere over $145, $150 billion a month that we would need to cut in expenses. No way. If we ever did that, we would be a third world nation in a snap of a finger. There's no way we could ever cut that much out of our expenses. Unless we reduce government drastically, reduce the size of government, and I mean drastically reduce the size of government, shut down many departments within the federal government, and bring the responsibilities, many of the responsibilities, back to the states where they belong, and maintain government control over those 18 items in the Constitution, there is no way we're ever going to get back on any kind of a financial footing. And even if we do all of that, we still are going to need to trim the waste. You take HUD for an example. There's a department that you could let half of the people go and let the other 25 or the other half go and hire new ones to replace them and still have a department that can run very efficiently.
Okay. You think we could
there,
do it?
Folks. You know, and if we don't do this, there is no way that we are ever going to get out of the bondage that we're under and we're in. I mean,
now,
it's,
let's say you got rid of half of the people at HUD. What happens to them?
Unfortunately, they're going to have to go elsewhere. And the reason what we have created here, and it's the same with the entire government, if we reduce the size of government drastically, that means a lot of people are going to be unemployed.
Like the rest of the country.
All these people should not have been employed in the first place. The government should never have been the largest employer in our country. That means that small business is going to have to thrive and have to grow. That means we're going to have to give many tax incentives to companies so they will grow their business and hire. where the government employees go, they're going to have to go into the private sector. But the private sector can grow and grow enough, strong enough, to be able to hire these people. The government cannot be the caretaker of all the people. There is just no way. It's been already proven in many other countries. Look at Argentina. Look what happened there.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to take a stand somewhere. And there's going to be people that are going to be hurt. We're all going to be hurt temporarily. But it'll be temporary rather than permanently. If we bring manufacturing back in this country, we give tax breaks down to 12 and 15%.
Right.
Manufacturing is going to come back to this country. We give incentives to hire American citizens. We give incentives to small businesses to grow. We can give tax and tax breaks and reclaim taxes through more people employed. This is what we've got to do to bring our nation back to where it should be.
You know, it bothers me the government raided Social Security and used the money for other things. I often wanted to go down to Washington to the Social Security office and say, listen, I don't want any interest on my money.
Yeah.
I'll just take a lump sum payment. And the guy will say, we don't have no money to give you. All we can give
That's
you is a chit. We can give you a chit. I don't want no chit. I want money. And
I don't know
I'm
how many
worried
people
about
realize
the
40,
I worry about the 401Ks. I worry
they're
about
very
how,
vulnerable to be
yep. Everybody's
be taken by
money
the government.
Is where the government can get their hands on it.
This is where the Dodd-Frank bill comes into play. Very ambiguous, that bill. A lot of loopholes in there. And it's meant to destroy our financial system. You talk about the Social Security fund being raised. You got to go back to 1967 for that, my friend. President Johnson signed that bill to have the authority to borrow and repay Social Security fund. I'd hate to... I don't know where that room is in the White House that has all these IOUs. It's going to be one heck of a big room.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You would think, then, there's no politician saying we're going to repay the Social Security system. They just tell you, oh, no, that money's gone. That's gone. Forget about it.
You know, you talk about how spreading the wealth, okay? I talk about Social Security in my petition, and one of the things that I bring up, and it's not a no-brainer. I mean, it's, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to think about this. But why have a cap on earnings? I mean, right now I think that cap is, what is it, $108,200, something like that?
Uh-huh.
And when somebody earns greater than that, they don't. No more Social Security is being deducted from them. Why have a cap? Let it just continually go. If a person makes $1 million a year, you still discuss, or I mean, deduct Social Security.
Explain that to me so I fully understand.
Okay. Right now we have an earnings cap on Social Security. In other words, when an individual reaches an income of $108,000 a year, no more Social Security is deducted from them.
Okay.
I say remove the cap. I say have Social Security deducted regardless of one's earnings.
Okay. And that Social Security is like a percentage? Is it like 3.2%?
Yes. Yeah, the employer pays a certain percentage and the employee. And I say don't allow the cap to be on the employer, so the employer is not going to get hurt. The employee won't be that hurt because it's something like 6%, 6 point something.
It's about 6 point something.
All right, but what this will do is replenish the Social Security fund with high earners. You know, I'm talking about high earning positions. You know, you've got to make, you know, over that $108,000 a year before you're going to be affected.
Good idea.
As long as those funds stay in Social Security, you're going to see Social Security funds starting to mount up. But it's not, doesn't take a rocket science, but it's a political issue. You know, there's so many things that have to be done now because of what we have done, because of the theft that has occurred within our federal government, such as, like you said, the basically the robbing of Social Security and Medicare funds.
Unbelievable.
Robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Unbelievable. And cutting the government in half would be a good idea. That means
yeah,
there'll be
this
less
is what
hands
I
in
talk
the pot.
About in my petition.
You also mentioned that the bills that they're passing are too large.
Oh,
and
way
they
too
can't
large.
Be read by laymen.
Exactly. And bills should be bills should stick to one issue. We should not have 15, 20 items in one bill. This is where we get into trouble. This is why when we pass bills, we find out about all that's really in them a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road.
Yeah, I know. I know. Every day
instead of having a bill
TV.
On one issue and have it in layman's terms, well, sure, there has to be a certain amount of legalities built into it, but they can be worded in such a way that the normal person on the street can read it and understand it.
How do you
I also
feel
about, talk about giving the people proper amount of time to read a bill before its passage.
Yes, you did. I noticed that. How do you feel about lobbies?
You know, there's pros and cons on that, and I've been kind of beat up in one way on it. Elaborate a little bit when you say lobbyists.
My personal opinion is the only lobby in Washington should be in a hotel. I would make it illegal for anybody
yeah,
to contact.
Yeah, there's a lot of pros and cons on, you know, on that. You could call Tea Party Group, in a sense, they're lobbying against something.
Right.
But I understand what you're saying, Tom.
I'm
there's
talking
too
about.
Too much commercialized lobbying going on.
Yeah.
There's not enough individual and citizenship lobbying going on. And listen to. Maybe it's the wrong kind of lobbying that's being listened to, or the wrong kind of lobbyists.
I know. I was in Washington and with the Department of Commerce, and one of the guys who had a job that he had an empty desk. There wasn't a piece of paper on his desk. I used to tease him and say that his office he must have a door that makes him invisible. Because he had nothing to do in his job, and he introduced me to a congressman from Maryland, and he goes, "This is Tom so and so," and the congressman gave me a big handshake, and "Yeah, how you doing?" And he goes, "You're so and so from Maryland, right?" I says, "No, I'm from New York." He goes, "This meeting is over." He thought it was one of his constituents that was sending him large donations. Yeah. Oh, I have to go now.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so I'm not too thrilled with lobbies on either side.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I was on the steps of Congress at that same time, and I watched guys going into the halls of Congress that weren't congressmen. They were dressed to the nines. They had Gucci shoes, $2,000 suits, and they looked like they owned somebody that worked there. And it really
bothered me. That's the wrong kind of lobbyists.
Yep. Yep. How about the military budget?
Well, I touch on the military budget, you know, and I talk about increasing the military budget. And we need to start putting one of the worst things I think that could have been done is the START treaty with Russia.
Oh, definitely.
And, I mean, it's all in favor of Russia, not in favor of us.
It was a giveaway.
I stayed in there that I feel we should repeal the START treaty, number one. Number two, we should increase the military budget by a minimum of 10%. We need to cut a lot of waste out of military. But we also need to start putting money into a very good space defense program.
That
like Reagan was talking really about doing?
Right.
We need to defend our country and our borders. We need to start pulling our troops back in from a lot of countries that hate us. We need to start closing. I'm not talking about closing all bases. but at least close bases in countries that can't stand us, that hate us, that want to kill us. We need to start bringing money back into this country. We got to stop spending money on other countries that hate us. I mean, we need to take care of our friends and take care of them properly. We need to take care of the Israels. When I say Israel.
When they ask me about donations to the UN, I say, sure, why not? One towel, one bar of soap.
Yeah. We need to build up our military. Our military has been losing ground for a long time.
How about bringing back the drift?
That's funny to say that. I joined the service because I was I didn't want to get drafted, and I joined the Air Force. But I got to think about that one. I don't bring the draft up at all in there, but you know, maybe the draft is what we need. I don't know if it would fit into this society anymore. I mean, back then, draft. It put a curtain or a blanket over everyone of a little bit of fear, but a lot of respect.
Right.
You know,
it brought the country together.
It brought the country together in many ways. Now, today, you know, we live in more of a technological society. A lot has to be put into space defense, for an example.
Yes.
Into our equipment. You know, into
so
our...
So we shouldn't shut down NASA, right?
We should, you say?
No, shouldn't.
No
we
way.
We should not have shut down NASA.
I think it was the biggest mistake in the world.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
Now, that's my own opinion.
That's another Soviet gift.
Exactly. Our space program has been really dismantled in favor of Russia.
Yeah, we got to hitch a ride to get this.
Isn't that something? Can you believe it?
Man. Yeah.
No, we've got to do something drastically within our military. We need to bring back our military might and superiority. Because I don't know if we're the most superior nation anymore.
It's scary.
You
look at China. You look at China. I mean, they could... There was
look
a guy
Russia.
In China called Rambo. I don't know if you saw this or not. And he killed nine people. He killed nine people. And they called out the local police. They called out about 1,000 cops to get this one guy.
Unbelievable.
The joke was the Chinese people's choir is 300,000. You know.
Still feel that Russia is the one.
Yes.
It's got the superior strength. They've got the money. They're awful quiet.
They are. They're very
quiet. I always say that, well, I don't want to get into necessarily talking about Obama, but I think they're behind a lot of things that are going on.
Well, you know, Obama told Medvedev that...
Can't pronounce his name.
Yeah, after the election, he was going to be closer to Putin. He'd be able to
Can
do more.
Can you believe that
him.
On TV?
Yeah.
I just don't believe. Almost like it was done purposely.
He looked around like he wanted to see if anybody, he didn't see, think anybody was
yeah.
looking. If you look at the look around when he says it, you can see he's checking to see who's listening. It was,
it was unbelievable.
And there was a story.
That should have been publicized so heavily in every newspaper and on every TV station. It didn't get that much publicity.
The media is pro-Obama, and
gosh.
Modern-day Pravda.
That's saying it mildly.
Right.
You know, I like talk radio, and this has been a good show.
If it wasn't for talk radio and the internet, we'd all be in cages today, I think. We'd be waiting for the cattle cars to pull in.
They tell us what they want to tell us.
I know, it's sad.
And it is.
One of the things they're not talking about is the slaughter that's going on in Afghanistan. Obama has lost 2,000 American troops, and you don't, and nobody says anything. Bush in eight years, he lost 461. This guy's not in there 4 years. He's lost 2,000, plus a SEAL team that they covered up, plus 39 Americans that got shot in the back by Afghanis who they were training.
You don't hear about that.
Nope. You don't hear about that at all. And
you hear about how bad Bush was and how he created all the problems we have today.
Yep.
But you're right. You don't hear about those things.
Nope, they're all covered up. And you know what they're doing? They're classifying them as NATO troops. So when you pick up the paper, you say, oh, they lost 2,000 NATO troops in Afghanistan. Oh,
yeah.
They must be Dutch.
How do you like Clinton on tonight?
He's on tonight?
Yeah, he's going to be at the Democratic Convention.
I call him President Pinocchio Pants.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to irk him because I know that he's...
He thinks he got stabbed in the back.
The Clintons and the Obamas are the greatest
friends. What do they say? I know. What do they say? Politics makes strange bedfellows?
It's very, very true, sir.
I think he'll make Obama look good tonight. I don't think he'll be treacherous.
No, he won't.
He'll save that for a dark day.
Yeah, he'll definitely, and he's, you got to give credit where credit's deserved. I mean, he's a good speaker, Clinton.
Yeah.
I would not say everything was bad about Clinton when he was president. I'm not going to say everything was good.
Well, I can tell you, in 1998, in November, while he was president, oil was $10 a barrel. Check that one out.
Yeah.
$10
really?
A barrel. You know how I know? I was in Abu Dhabi, and I was checking into a hotel, and they told me, even though you have reservations, you can't stay here. I said, why not? Because every king, every emir, and every sultan was coming in to raise the price of the oil. So they put me in a better hotel at the same price, and they took all the people that lived along the highway from the airport to Sheikh Zayed's palace, and they put them in hotels because they didn't want anybody using the houses along the way to take pot shots at the royalty. So
you're a very traveled man, aren't you?
I've been to Kuwait. I got there in 93, right after the war, to do business. And what was I going to tell you? Oil was $10 a barrel, and after the meeting, it went to $30. And now you see what it is today. It's 98.
Sure. Interesting.
And I see that computer technology was used against Aramco this week and caused them some problems. And I often say if one of those oil refineries in Saudi Arabia gets hit, we'll all watch the price of gasoline get to Obama's target price of $8 a gallon.
Oh, yeah. It'll just go right to the ceiling.
So,
right
go ahead. What were you going
to
say? We were talking about...
No, I was...
the military?
No, I wasn't. I was listening to you.
Oh, okay. And then you want to
saying very interesting.
Yes. Repeal Obamacare. Definitely. Start over, right?
Start all over. I mean, we need a certain amount of health care reforms. Not as many as people may think. Obamacare is 2,346 pages, riddled with more tax loopholes and more things that don't even have nothing to do with health care. But even the portions of it that do pertain to health care are disastrous to the American people. I mean, our health care quality after 2014, well, we're gradually losing the quality of health care now. But after 2014, it'll be a disaster if this isn't repealed. And the amount of taxes the American public will be paying. But it's just like $716 billion was taken out of Medicare to help fund Obamacare.
Another raid.
Yeah. I mean, we've got Medicare.
Improve it.
It was working, okay?
Right.
We didn't need Obamacare. There's things in Obamacare, a few things that are good that we could change, having to do with pre-existing conditions. And I mean, my gosh, what we've got here in Obamacare, I get into a lot of detail. It's one of my one of the legislative demand issues that I spend quite a bit of time in it, about all the things that I call for in the petition and pertaining to Obamacare. It's just like the financial regulatory reform bill. As I said earlier, those two bills combined put this country into complete socialistic nation.
Yeah,
completely.
Can't let that happen.
You know, and when you control our health care, you control all of our finances. I mean, you got everything you need to dictate what a country and a society will be and where it's going to go. It's funny, but if you go see that, I remember towards the end of the movie 2016 when it showed the different countries how many nuclear warheads that they were going to have. You remember that?
Oh, that was the most scary thing that really rocked me.
Yeah, that should have driven a message home to a lot of people. Why was Russia up there, number one?
Yeah, right.
1,500.
What was it?
1,500 compared to 300 of ours.
Wow.
But it was scary. It was very scary. What it showed is that, you know, Obama's intentions, what they really are, and where to take this nation, where whoever's controlling, and I say who's controlling, there's got to be a much greater source that is controlling Obama and his movements.
Yes.
And his actions.
Yes.
I mean, we can't believe that he is solely the creator of all of this.
No.
He is only the implementer.
He's part of a plan, that's right.
That's all. He's just implementing a plan. He's a follower. He reads well. He reads very well. Take his monitors away and teleprompters, and then that's when you see him start stuttering.
There is a guy I told you about named Jimmy from Brooklyn, and he's been following communism since Stalin was in charge. And he has a theory that we really lost the Cold War. The Russians let us believe that we won. They took the wall down, and they sent all their spies here. And he is real anti-communist, and he says that when the communists lose, they win, and when they win, they win. They always have a second alternate plan that gives them victory, and that we're playing checkers and they're playing chess. And he believes that that we are very vulnerable. And he believes that there could be a day when there will be FEMA camps used for concentration camps. And that's real scary when you start thinking like that. And when you see this president and you see the country is going broke, in order to control the population, the easiest way to do it is to make everybody poor, and then you feed the dogs some scraps.
That's right.
And that's what I'm worried about, you know. He's got 50% of the population right now some form of subsidy, you know, some sort of federal handout. He tells the college students they're going to get free tuition. They're all going to vote for him, you know.
That individual may not be too far off.
It's really scary. It really is.
I think one of the problems one of the problems are is that, sorry everyone, it's my laryngitis.
I got it.
I would have to have that today. But one of the problems are is that the American and I'm not saying all, but I'm saying a good share of the American people don't realize how severe our problem really is.
No.
They
no.
Really
the average American has
know.
No idea. They watch an NBC, CBS, ABC. They have no idea. They're being spoon-fed propaganda all day long. They have no idea what's going on.
They don't get it. They will. Keeps going like this, they will. And it'll be too late.
Yeah.
You know, I always say, once freedom is lost, it's lost forever, never to be regained again.
I know.
And
I open
when
up my
this
show
country,
some,
I'm sorry.
I open up my show sometimes with the heading, you lost your country and you're never getting it back. And I also remind all of those kumbaya people, when we lose, who's going to take us in?
That's right.
They're not going to take us in. They're going to take us out.
When freedom is gone from our country, it's gone all over the world. Because we are what's holding freedom together.
Definitely.
And
I recall a guy who was, I forget where I saw it, but he was a hostage by a Taliban group. And they wanted to kill him, and one of the generals that was in charge, he was a little shy side, and he said to the general, "Oh, I know what it was. It was the movie, the African movie, Hotel Rwanda. Did you ever see that movie?"
No, I have not.
The manager of the hotel.
No, I didn't go see it. I've got to see that. I heard a lot about it.
Yes. He tells the general, they're getting ready to kill all the Europeans in the hotel, and he tells the general, the CIA knows your name. They're watching you right now from the sky. And if you give this order, you're going to be held on as a war criminal. And he bluffed enough to make the general call off the murder of all the hotel.
He backed off. I'll be darned.
Right.
No, but I heard a lot about that. What was that? That was aired, what? Was that about a year ago, 2 years ago?
About 2 years ago. Very good movie.
Yeah.
And very sad, too. The plight of Africa is very sad.
Interesting.
You mentioned the Dodd-Frank bill. When these two guys got together, I'm always leery of names on bills, like McCain-Feingold, Dodd-Frank.
Yeah, their name never went well. It's not really. The real bill is called the Financial Regulatory Reform Bill.
Financial Regulatory
Reform
Bill.
I mean, Dodd-Frank is creators of it, and so that's how it stuck as the Dodd-Frank bill.
Okay. I say there are three tools that we need to go to Washington. We need a drill for oil. We need a shredder for treaties. And we need a broom. And the other end of the broom can have a Don't Tread on Me flag.
Very good. Excellent. I applaud you.
Operation Clean Sweep.
That's good. That is good. This has been great. It really has, Tom. How often do you air? How often are you on?
I usually do an hour, at least two or three times a week, but I don't. I check to see how many people I have. The last time I did a radio show, I had 10 listeners. But 1,147 archive listeners, in other words, they come and they download the show because of the time structure.
So in other words, you don't have a published time, set time.
No, I don't
people
go on
know that they can go in.
Night. No. I had started this about 5 years ago. And I had a pretty nice following. I was up to about 3,000 listeners, and then I had to get away from it because I had business to do and stuff. So I'm really starting over. But one of the things that I'll do is I will send you a copy of the archive.
Oh, and, I'd love that.
And I'm also going to send it to a lot of people who I blog along the way. And you never know. You never know who might be
in the name of the game is exposure. And, you know, I believe in the petition all the way. Got my heart, a lot of work into it, and I firmly believe that this is what this country needs. And I'm going to continue right up till I get my 100,000 petitions. And,
well,
and you are you have helped out tremendously just by having me here as a guest.
From your lips to God's ears.
Thank you, sir.
You mentioned that your expertise is in real estate and mortgages.
Yeah, actually mortgage lending, mortgage financing.
Mortgage financing. One of
I've,
the
been in mortgage banking, actually, in mortgage banking for 44 years.
One of the saddest things that I'm witnessing in my own family is everybody's house is underwater. All these kids came in and they trying to get a good start, and they come in at the real estate peak, and they all, every one of them, their houses have been reduced in value by 50%, and you know, they can't do anything. They're like trapped in their situation. You know, if they wanted to get a better house, they can't do it because they don't have down payment money now. What can these people do today, these young kids that are trapped in these mortgage traps and real estate value traps?
Well, the ones that are trapped in their properties that are making their payments, believe it or not, there's not a lot that's available out there for them other than to try and refinance their existing loan and get a lower interest rate just to lower their payments.
Right.
Because many times you don't even need an appraisal. It won't go based on your value if all you're doing is just what they call modifying your loan to get a lower interest rate.
Right.
But you'd be surprised. There's people out there that have 5, 6%, 6.5% loans that can get it reduced down to 3.5% and could cut tremendous amount of money out of their mortgage payments. My daughter just did it, and her mortgage payments got cut by $278 a month.
And how did she do it?
She just went to her lender, said that she wanted to apply to have a rate reduction on her loan, or she'd go elsewhere.
Or she'd go elsewhere.
Right, because there's many lenders that'll do that.
All right,
she didn't have any problem. They did it without doing an appraisal. You know, the folks that are in their properties that are having problems making their payments, that are maybe delinquent on their payments, and their loan is under, well, like you say, underwater. You know, there are programs out there. There's modification programs that they can apply for. And they can go to their lenders and apply for. The problem is trying to get them are very difficult. You know, they make it sound like it's, you know, there are ways and there's methods of getting out of your problem. But
right.
So much of the problem is you're going to have to sit back and wait it out.
Yeah.
But there's many that can't. That's why we have the foreclosures that we've got. And we haven't seen the end of it at all.
No.
In my petition at the end, I've got a scenario that I wrote up. It's called the Bold Truth.
The what?
You read the Bold Truth.
Bold Truth.
It's called the Bold Truth. It's next to the last item. It's next to the summation at the end. And it'll tell you how we got into the situation we got into, why the 2008 crash occurred. I take it back to 1999 when there was a lot of things that occurred with Clinton in office, certain bills that he signed that created the floodgates to open up where anybody and everybody could borrow money. I don't want to say too much about it. Read it.
Right.
It's true accounting. I mean, I was involved into it. I was dealing with Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae and all of them in Wall Street right at the time all of this was happening and started out. If you read that, you'll get a good idea of why we're at and in the position we're in today, from a housing market, foreclosure market.
And that started in 1999?
Well, yeah, in 1999, there was a bill and an act that that Clinton signed that overrode another act called the Glass-Steagall Act that was in force that controlled a lot of the lending, a lot of regulations that required people to have to meet certain requirements before they could be approved for a loan. And this bill that he signed wiped out a good share of the Glass-Steagall Act. And what it basically did, in simple terms, is it opened up the floodgates and allowed credit to go haywire. Do you remember years ago when all the mailboxes were full of credit card applications?
Yes.
You know, borrow this, $20,000 credit available for this, for that. People could borrow anything they wanted. I mean, they borrowed on homes. They borrowed. There was loans and mortgages out that were called option arms that people could almost set their own payments the way they wanted to. There was no interest loans. There was all these crazy loans that people could take advantage of, and under normal circumstances, they never would have qualified for.
Right.
Property values were starting to go right out through the ceiling. They skyrocketed. They skyrocketed for almost 9 years. Our credit, our country's economy was growing, but it was growing through creating debt through the hands of the individual citizen. We have never grown an economy through debt incurred by individuals. Even during the Great Depression, people had nothing, but they didn't have debt.
I know. I can remember.
Now they've got nothing, and they're accumulating debt. More bankruptcies occurring every day than ever.
I can remember a generation saying, "Why would I want a credit card if I can't afford to pay for it? Why would I want a credit card?" And that was an entire national outlook.
Oh. Look, we grew this economy in a matter of 9 years through debt. We've had a false growth in our economy. And when the bubble broke, it broke. In 2003, I addressed the Mortgage Bankers Association and said what's happening in the mortgage industry right now, in the lending industry, is going to cripple this country, that we're heading towards the worst bubble break in the history of our country, worse than the Great Depression. And everybody laughed it all off. Well, I'll tell you something. The crash of 2008, in a lot of ways, is worse than the Great Depression because of all the debt that we've accumulated as a country and as individuals. I mean, we recovered from the Great Depression.
Yes.
I don't know if we're going to recover from this.
I know. And, I hear women complaining about the price of lemons.
Oh, gosh.
The price of eggs.
The price of everything.
I know.
I mean, there's little taxes that are getting snuck in here, snuck in there.
Oh, that gets me. They've turned every industry around to collecting taxes by the government.
Sure.
Your cable bill, your phone bill. The little taxi. You know what I say? I say one morning you'll wake up and there'll be a toll booth at the bottom of your driveway. And
you
they'll
said
have
it.
And they'll have a toilet tissue meter. And once a week the meter maid will come around and take the quarters out.
It's a shame, Tom. It really
is. It is.
A lot of new taxes that are coming about too are because of Obamacare.
any way they can sock it to us, they're doing it. What are they going to do with the internet? What are they going to do with the internet?
Oh, the internet. I'm sorry. I don't know if I have a...
They're going to make a fortune.
Oh, you're talking about what you mean as far as infiltrating everybody's privacy?
Yeah, taxing, you know.
Oh, taxing it.
Revenue raising for the government.
Well, I know they're talking about doing something with Amazon.
Yeah,
and some of these
Amazon
internet companies that are selling things on the internet.
Yeah, I know they
singled out. Is that what you're referring to?
Yep.
Oh, that's bound to be attacked.
Unbelievable.
Especially if Obama gets reelected.
How about real estate mortgage deductions? You think they're going to take that away?
I firmly believe that if Romney and Ryan gets reelected, and that if the Senate changes hands, that I don't think that will occur. I feel very very strongly about it being taken away if the new administration comes to play.
Uh-huh.
Or, I mean, if the old administration stays in.
What do you think,
They've
Romney,
been talking about it and talking about it.
What do you think Romney and Ryan's chances are of winning?
I don't think it's going to be an easy road for him. And the reason for that is because I think that Obama has such a foundation, you know, built in through those that are living off of the government.
Yes.
And he's got one heck of a head start. Now, I feel that Romney and Ryan, the ticket is a good ticket now, especially with Ryan there. I think they have a good shot.
Right.
They need to start coming out a lot stronger. On his record, they need to really start pushing things like the $716 billion being taken out of Medicare. They've got to somehow get the Obama players away from the personal attacks and just a ton of the lies that they're coming out with. But it's not going to be an easy race.
No. And anything can happen.
You know, I know a lot of there's a lot of Republicans. I'm going to talk about parties now. A lot of Republicans that are not happy that Romney got in, you know, as our nominee.
Right.
And I hear a lot of things and I see a lot of things on the internet, like, oh, I'm not even going to go vote.
Oh, that's
bad. I'm not going to vote for Romney. I'm going to vote for Ron Paul.
No, you can't, do
that.
I
can't believe the stupidity.
Last election, we could pick the lesser of two evils. This election, it's good versus evil. If you vote for evil, you're finished. This will
be
the end of the country. Four more years of Obama, you'll see Soviet troops directing traffic in the streets here. We're in trouble. We're in big trouble, and America doesn't know it. They all
You know, I've said that many times. What you just got through saying, that we're going to see Russian troops walking down the middle of the street. People laugh at me.
They're in
Colorado.
Well,
thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I appreciate what you said.
They're in training. They're in
you
training.
You better believe it.
In Colorado, Idaho, the Chinese government had just bought I think it was 50 square miles in Idaho. Nobody knows what they're going to do with it.
Amen to you. By the way, this is off the subject completely, but how did you, your station, God and Country, how did that happen?
Say that again.
You use what your station, is it called God and Country?
Oh, no, I'm with the Spirit of America Party, but we always use the theme God and Country Forever.
Okay, well, see, there was a reason then you and I got together.
Because you were Googling God and Country, and that's how it came up?
No, I think you, I don't know how.
I might have found you.
I think you filled out a petition.
Yeah, I might have signed your petition.
Because you're on our mailing, our email list, I
yes,
think.
Yes, that's right. Yep. So it's a small world. You never can tell.
Well, I'm looking forward for our relationship to go further.
I do too. I do too, my friend, and I will definitely keep you posted on what kind of progress we make, because we do a lot of blogging. And
I believe me, I appreciate it. And anything you can do to help out the petition, you've already helped out tremendously by having me on as a guest.
I
want to thank your listeners. I appreciate them, and hopefully they got a lot out of this program.
I think they did, and we must have stirred the melting pot.
I hope so.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure partnering up with you, sir.
And we'll do it again, for sure.
I look forward to hearing from you.
Nice talking to you, my friend.
Thank you, sir. You take care.
Okay. John Smallbone, thank you.
God bless.
Take care.